Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It is a day, ladies and gentlemen. That is of the utmost importance to Americans. This evening, the internet will be ablaze with discussion, with debate, with arguments, with fights, and yes, indeed, it may even come to violence this evening when the college football playoff rankings are released for the very first time, a very consequential evening. In collegiate football, as we find out which 13? Teams
who's 13
are given the inside track. Well, keep in mind, it doesn't just matter who is 13 because you also have got the four byes and the extra conference champion tossed in there. And there's a lot of different things that could come into play as a result of how they're stacked up this evening.
All right. So what number do you think that team has no chance in the ranking? 20?
I'd say probably 16, 15, 16. I think that's where you start. Now, also keep in mind, no chance might, that's what you got, might end up being somewhat irrelevant, right? Because there are some teams, there are absolutely some teams that may be down. I'll give you one right now. LSU's 14, Texas A&M is 15. Both of those teams have a track. They'll need help. Both of those teams have a track to the SEC championship game, which if they win, they're in.
By the way, that's the AP poll, and sometimes the CFP has things a lot different.
That sometimes, I don't think it's going to be dramatically. There's going to be a couple of teams that are maybe ranked a spot or two higher or lower, may get a little extra boost or knock down due to strength of schedule or the overall conference, right? But I think by and large, they're going to be similar. But look, you're looking out of the SEC. You got 7-1 Georgia. You got 7-1 Texas. You got 7-1 Tennessee. Then you drop down to number 15, 7-2 A&M, 7-2 Ole Miss, and LSU at 6-2. All those teams still have a pie. If Texas, again, need a lot of help, Tennessee, Georgia, Texas all take more losses. There is a path with some tiebreakers thrown in that A&M or LSU or Ole Miss could end up in the SEC title game. They go in, they win that thing. You could have a two-loss SEC team in as a bye. As a bye. And then those other teams, where do they drop to, right? Clemson is 6-2. As we talked about yesterday, there is still a path. Again, we'll need some help. But there is a path for the Clemson Tigers to end up in the ACC title game. Does anybody believe Clemson is up there with Oregon, Georgia, Ohio State, Texas? I do not. I do not. However,
there might be some people listening who, yeah.
Okay. Does anybody without a purple cap on, an orange cap on today, think that Clemson, in fact, I'll give Clemson fans credit. There are a lot of them that are like, we don't deserve it this year. And I respect that. I respect the acknowledgement. Because you don't. Not after what happened this weekend. You don't. Okay? But there's a path to Clemson to the ACC title game despite being ranked 19th. They win. In fact, I would say any team that is currently sitting with no more than two losses absolutely has a path in. So if I look at only teams that have two or fewer losses, that's everybody from 23 up. 24 is 6-3 Vanderbilt, 25 is 6-3 Louisville, right? So I think anybody from 23 up has a chance. Now, a lot of those teams, I would say everybody from, say, I guess technically 6-2 Alabama at number 11. Boise State, not going to need a lot of help. They're just going to have to not lose again and win the conference. SMU at 8-1, inside track to the ACC title game against Miami. 6-2 LSU will need help. 7-2 A&M needs help. So does 7-2 Ole Miss. 7-1 Iowa State, still very much in play. They will need some help. Army at 8-0. Does Army allowed in if they win the AAC? If they go undefeated and win the conference, I don't see how you keep Army out. Clemson will need some help at 6-2, number 19. Washington State, 7-1. Colorado, 6-2, probably needs some help. Kansas State, Pitt. Pitt's still on, technically, and I know Pitt lost this weekend. Bad loss for Pittsburgh. Bad loss. And not only bad loss for Pittsburgh, hurts Clemson a lot, too. Because that was the last ranked team. Pittsburgh is still ranked, but now at 23 instead
who
of inside
did
the top 20.
Pittsburgh lose
to? Pittsburgh lost to Syracuse this weekend, if I recall off the top of my head correctly. Again, not a great loss. In fact, real bad loss. Sorry. SMU. My bad. Who lost to Syracuse? I'm blanking. Somebody just lost to Syracuse that wasn't supposed to as well. Forget who it was.
I just brought that up to point out that.
No, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. For sure. I got no issue with that. Syracuse knocked off. Damn it, who did Syracuse beat? Oh, Virginia Tech. I am going to say everybody from 23 up has a chance. Most of the teams from 11 back will need help. Notre Dame wins out, ends up at 11-1. I think they're going to get in. Even though that one is going to be one of the worst losses of any of the one-loss teams, I think they'll get in. I think everybody behind them, with the exception of SMU, who is an ACC title inside track, technically Pitt is too. If they beat Clemson, we could have a three-team tiebreaker in year one of the ACC. Clemson needs help. Yeah, I think I'm good with that. So we'll see how this thing shapes out tonight. Somebody earlier, though, did the playoff predictor. Lonzo, Alabama, Ohio State first round matchup. Hell yes to the 12-team playoff. How has that not got you excited right now?
We're sure Alabama's going to be in there?
No. But also yes, because I don't know if you've noticed this or not. Alabama gets bonus points.
I was going to say, Ohio State may not be in there either.
Alabama gets bonus points.
Ohio State could lose to Indiana and be out of the Big Ten championship and may not get in. Still some meaningful football left to play.
There's plenty of meaningful football left to play. And this is, I think, one of the things when they expanded to 12, and a lot of you guys were, it's taken away from the importance of the regular season. Is it? Did Georgia-Alabama feel like it had no importance on it? Did Texas-Georgia feel like it had no importance on it? Did Clemson-Louisville not feel like it had importance on it? Because we said going into that game, if Clemson gets caught looking ahead, and for the record, I don't think Clemson got caught looking ahead. I think Dabo Sweeney's coaching staff failed. I think they failed. And I'll say fail because you were coming off the bye week. I think you failed. And I think that loss is probably keeping Clemson out of the ACC title game. Even if they beat Pitt. I don't think SMU's losing again. I don't think Miami's losing at all. Because the teams that could have taken down Miami, I think, are out of the way now. So, and I could be wrong, because we for the most part, most of us felt like that way against Louisville. But even if Miami loses, they're still likely going in ahead of Clemson just based on results, right? Just based on results. Miami's got to lose a couple. So I don't see a path. There is a path for Clemson. You will need a lot of help. And I don't see SMU dropping another one. If Clemson's going to get in, they have to. I don't think they just have to beat Pitt. I think they got to beat Pitt. I think they got to beat Pittsburgh. And, you know, I'd like to say that is a given for Clemson, but it's not anymore. Not after this past weekend. So, I don't know. I was watching this morning, and I can't remember who it was. But I was watching somebody this morning put up a playoff predictor on, I think it was ESPN. You got an Alabama Ohio State first round matchup. which was, I was like, yes, yes, inject that right into my veins. Are you kidding me? My favorite thing was, who's that? I think they looked at Boise State was in there somewhere. I really wish I would have saved that. Notre Dame was in there. Like, there's some possibilities for this to be fun.
Do you remember where you saw it at?
It was on TV. If it was Twitter, I would have retweeted it immediately. Just for the sake of that first round matchup. Good first round matchups. They had Georgia catching the bye. They had Alabama and Texas both in, obviously. They had Oregon catching a bye out of the Big Ten. They had you guys matched up with Alabama in round one. They had Boise State catching a bye. They had a couple of teams. Was it Notre Dame catching a bye or just Notre Dame? I don't remember. The point is, all of you guys threw out there. That the 12th team, but not all you guys, but you get it. Royal, all y'all. All y'all threw out there the 12-team playoff was going to be bad because it was going to negate the importance of the regular season. Does anybody feel like games with this weekend don't matter? Anybody feel with three? What do we got? Three regular season weeks to go. Any of y'all feel like the results don't matter right now? Because I most certainly do not. Also, did this football season haul Boutte past us?
Yeah, and we'll see how fast the 12-team playoff goes. Because in years past, at least for me, the bowl season kind of drags as you're waiting for, you know, the ones that really matter. And this time we're going to get those a lot quicker.
That's what I told you. Learn to appreciate the game, not the results. Learn to appreciate the art from kickoff to whistle and not just the final score, and yeah, you'll feel better for it.
The problem with one of the problems with college bowls during that time is they're on at weird times. And also the NFL is going strong right at the end. Every year.
That's also true. Let's see here. Here's what Andy Staples. All right, why not? Let's talk about it. Here's what Andy Staples has predicted. Lonzo, you ready? Just for the sake of the discussion.
I am prepared.
He has got Oregon, Miami, BYU, and Georgia catching the byes. Okay? Number one, Oregon waits for the winner of number 8, Penn State, and number 9, Notre Dame. Number two, Miami waits for the winner of number 10, Tennessee, and number 7, Hoosiers? Number 3, Georgia awaits the winner between the Texas Longhorns and the Alabama Crimson Tide, the 6-11 matchup. And number 4, BYU awaits the winner of Boise State and Ohio State. The Run the Damn Ball Bowl. That game might be over. If Ohio State and Boise State play, Lonzo, that game might be over in 15 minutes. That might be the fastest college game of the day because it's going to be Travion Henderson that way, Ashton Janty that way, over and over and over, and I am signing up immediately. I will pay pay-per-view money to watch those running backs
go. You left out Judkins for Ohio
State. Oh, that's right.
Too. So, I mean,
that's right.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. He has G5 contenders on the outside looking in: Army, UNLV, Tulane, and Louisiana Lafayette. And the first four major teams out: SMU, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Iowa State. So and this is going to start a fight.
I didn't hear the C word in there anywhere.
We don't say that on the radio.
What, Clemson? You're right.
I wish we did. Got it. He has got only the University of Miami in from the ACC. But he's got Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, Alabama all in from the SEC. He's got from the Big Ten, Ohio State, Penn State, and Oregon. So 3 Big Ten, 4 SEC, 1 ACC. And can I be real? Even though I am 100% the guy who thinks that the SEC gets the bonus points all the time, kind of hard to argue the ACC deserves more than a champ in this year.
I was going to say, that sounds pretty realistic.
Yeah.
And yeah, if the only people who could protest would be ACC.
Yeah, I push back real hard against the we deserve it because we're the SEC and that's the only reason.
Although I believe SMU is going to win the ACC. So if SMU were to beat Miami in the ACC championship, would SMU and Miami get in?
I do. If it is the only loss Miami has, yes. Yes. I do not think. I think the only way an ACC team is getting in is if they have one loss. And that is true of SMU. That is true of Miami. Scratch that. The only way a non-ACC champion is getting in is if they have one loss, right? If Pitt wins out and Pitt loses in the ACC title game, I don't think Pitt's going. If Pitt wins out and they win the ACC title game, they will. And if they beat Miami, Miami will. But if, let's say Miami crashes and burns and they lose two games down the stretch, they won't. But let's say that they do. If they lose two and your ACC title game ends up being Pitt versus SMU, the winner of that game goes, the loser of that game goes home. I think you're getting, you will get at maximum two teams in. And I think the only way that two ACC teams get in is if Miami loses the ACC title game and it's their only loss. That's the only way you're getting two ACC teams in this. I'm willing to bet on that. Let's see here. Brett McMurphy's college football predicted field. He's got the top four seeds in the teams getting by. Oregon, Georgia, Miami, and BYU in that order. From 5 to 12, he's got Ohio State taking on Tennessee. He's got Texas taking on Boise State. Notre Dame taking on Penn State. Indiana taking on Texas A&M. By the way, both of those cats that we have given you so far, both of those cats have South Carolina ranked 22nd in the playoff rankings predicted at the end of the year. Let's see here. I'm just enjoying looking at other people's playoff brackets predicted. The Big Ten Huddle podcast has the Oregon Ducks as the one seed, Georgia is the two, Miami is the three, BYU is the four. They've got Boise State and Ohio State as the bottom matchup. They've got Texas, Indiana, Alabama, Penn State, Notre Dame. Alabama, Penn State might be the ugliest damn football game we've watched all year. Because Alabama, just for whatever reason, cannot figure it out, and Penn State can't win a damn big game. It's going to be two teams trying so hard to give the win to each other over and over. All right, so there you go. We wait for the college football playoffs. Texas said, don't forget SMU. I'm not forgetting SMU. I'm telling you right now, if SMU doesn't win the ACC title game, SMU's not going to the playoffs. That's their only path. In fact, everybody who's not Miami in the ACC, if you're not Miami, your only path is to win the ACC. It's the only path. If Miami loses the ACC title game, but they play in it, they are going to the playoffs, probably is the 11-12 seed. If anybody else in that conference does not win the ACC title game, they are not going. That's just how I see it. That's just how I see it. Let's see. The Athletic has Oregon, Miami, Georgia, Kansas State as the top four. Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame, Texas through eight, Indiana, Clemson, Tennessee, and Boise State as to how do I don't see a way you get Clemson in there. And that, yes, I do. They win the ACC. But if they do, they're catching. I don't see how Clemson is either like one through four or not in.
Well, SMU and Miami would have to win some, lose some games, and then Clemson could get in.
SMU would have to lose another one because I do think Clemson would get in if they were both two loss teams. But remember, they'd also have to beat Pitt and give them loss number two as well. I don't know. We'll see.
And chances are South Carolina's ranked by the time Clemson plays them. So if they beat
Clemson beats Vanderbilt this week, they're ranked next Monday.
South Carolina.
Yeah, that's what I meant. South Carolina beats Vanderbilt this weekend. Yeah. They're ranked next week, for sure.
Can't let that one go.
By the way, there's a path to the SEC title game for South Carolina. Who'd have thought we said that in Week 10? Back after this, on the Rob Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate NFL trade deadline day. We do have a couple of moves that have been made so far this glorious Tuesday morning. The Detroit Lions involved in a move. They get Pro Bowler Za'Darius Smith in a deal with the Cleveland Browns. We now know what that trade looks like. The Lions get Za'Darius Smith and a 2026 sixth round pick in return for a 2025 fifth rounder and a 26th sixth rounder if those picks swap. So the Lions pick up a bit of an insurance policy at defensive end. They surrender next year's fifth round pick. And I love this move from the Lions. I like this move from the Lions because, number one, they are embracing the Dan Campbell mentality and they are going for it. They're going for it, and I appreciate that. I think there are a lot of teams that feel like they are close, but they don't have the rocks to go for it. And to me, in the NFL, your window is open for a couple of years. Unless you hit on either an Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes combination, like Drew Brees and Sean Payton were, like Belichick and Tom Brady were, unless you hit on one of those combinations, and you know it's rare because we can talk about those combinations and not have anybody else to add into the conversation, right? Unless you hit on a Reed Mahomes, a Brady Breeze, or a Brady Belichick, a Peyton Breeze combination, your windows are 2 to 3 years, and then they close, and then you got to rebuild the whole thing. That's just the way the NFL works. It is designed to be cyclical like that. The Lions, for the record, Lonzo, I think I can speak for everyone on this show, all of us, when I say, big Dan Campbell guys over here.
Yeah, I wish someone would bite my kneecap off
right
now.
Big Dan Campbell guys.
Yeah, for sure.
All in on Dan Campbell.
He almost, this almost would make me go to Applebee's. Almost. Not quite, but almost.
You face Dan Campbell? Love this guy, all right? Love this guy. So, they recognize that while Dan Campbell is him, and I love this dude as a head coach, they also recognize that they've got an aging quarterback that when Jahmyr Gibbs' contract comes up, he is going to be offered top-notch money to go somewhere, right? So they're going for it. And I think more teams need to go for it. You're effectively saying we surrender a third and a fifth round pick next year. Now, there is value in picks. Rashad Beard was on the show yesterday. I'll replay that interview for you on Thursday. Rashad's going over to Germany for the Panthers game. So we'll run it in the normal spot on Thursday. But Rashad Beard and I have had this conversation many times. We agree philosophically on the strategy to win a Lombardi. Nailed it. Little stutter there, but I got there. All right, I got there. If you want to be a contender who has an open window, the draft is the key. The draft is the key because you've got to find players that can contribute at whatever position you draft, and you've got to find players that can contribute at whatever position through the draft and do so on a rookie deal for a few years. The only way to do that is through the draft. And the reason you got to do that is because a successful NFL team, with rare exception, and I think the Kansas City Chiefs are proving this right now with guys like Xavier Worthy, a successful Super Bowl caliber team is built up of a healthy mix of cheap, young talent, of aged, successful veteran leadership, and then of a good mix of quality depth guys that are in the middle. There's only one way to get the third up front. You got to draft well. You want to know why the New Orleans Saints were in a position to win? They only got one, but you know why they were in a position to win for as many years as they were under Peyton and Breeze? It wasn't just because they had the most accurate quarterback in the history of the National Football League in Drew Breeze. It wasn't just because they had a guy that, while I don't think that he was as innovative and genius as people made Sean Payton out to be, I do think he was a guy that understood how to get a locker room all on the same page, something the New Orleans Saints have not had since then. I think the reason that they were there is because the New Orleans Saints had a lot of good years of the draft. Rashad Beard pointed out in the run-up to the most egregious missed call in the history of NFL football that prevented the Saints from going to play Tom Brady and the Pats in a Super Bowl. You go back and you look at the two drafts leading up to that. The two drafts for the Saints leading up to that were both A-plus drafts. The Alvin Kamara draft, they were A. The Marshawn Lattimore draft, they were A-plus drafts. They were hit drafts. So they hit on the draft. They had a ton of talent that would go on to become Pro Bowlers, but they had them all on rookie contracts, and that allowed them to go invest in veteran players to be the leaders of those young cats, and it worked. You've got to have a good draft. But in order to have a good draft, you got to have draft picks. Why do you think Bill Belichick spent so long stocking up draft picks? It's because he knew whenever we hit a lull, whenever the Patriots hit a flat spot, a plateau, where it doesn't feel like they're the Patriots anymore, that next year they're going to come into the draft with 15 picks. And they're going to get 15 dudes. And as long as they hit on five or six of them, you know, hit on a third of your picks, they're going to have a full class of good young talent that they can underpay and give that money to go find some vets to bring in. And they did that. That's how they were able to bring in Randy Moss that one year, because they had a ton of good young talent so they could pay Randy Moss to come in. And granted, you didn't have to pay Randy Moss like you did when he was in his prime, but he was still a damn good wide receiver, as was evidenced by what he and Brady did that year. You got to have that. But I also think, considering NFL teams know that, I also think in order to be successful in that regard, when you get a window, when you know that your window is open, when you know it is time to compete and it's time to compete now, I think you have to throw caution to the wind and you gotta bleep and go for it. The Lions just said third and fifth round pick next year, we don't care. Now, most fans don't get super jacked up about a fifth round pick. 2017, that Alvin Kamara, Marshawn Lattimore draft pick. You know who the Saints picked in the fifth round that year? Alex Anzalone out of the University of Florida. What's Alex Anzalone doing now, 7 years later? He's part of that Lions defense. He's a heart of that Lions defense. Those are the types of cats that you go draft and you make them heart and soul of the team, but you don't have to pay them like they are. And you let them develop on a cheap contract. And then once they develop, you go, okay, you are critical. We're going to cast off one of the older vets to keep you because now you're an older vet. And we're going to go find the next young guy, heart and soul, in the next draft. That's what fifth round picks turn into. Alex Anzalone. Is Alex Anzalone one of the top 10, 15 linebackers in the National Football League? No. Is he one of the most important players on the Detroit Lions defense? You're damn right he is. You're damn right he is. That's who you get with fifth round picks. Those guys that are never recognized as bona fide superstars in the league, but that a coach like Dan Campbell is going to go, that's the heart and soul. That's the guy we center around. That's the guy who leads us. That's the guy we follow. That's our guy. So when the Lions give up a third and a fifth round pick to replace, at least for now, Aiden Hutchinson after his gruesome leg injury, what it says to me is, yeah, we lost Hutch. We know our defense is going to suffer from losing Hutch, who, by the way, from what I understand, might be on pace to return for the playoffs. Could be available for the playoffs. It may not be round one. Lions may not be playing round one. But it may not be round one, but on pace to return for the playoffs. So, if that is the case, now the Lions have real depth at the defensive end spot. Now the Lions have the opportunity to keep defensive ends very fresh. And if Aiden Hutchinson comes back in time for the playoffs, you know he's going to have ring rust, right? So what can you do in this spot? Now you can keep Za'Darius Smith out there for standard downs. And when I need him, I can go get Hutch. Hey, it's third and seven. It's an obvious passing down, right? It's second and 14. It's an obvious passing down. Now I can trot Hutch out there on one wheel, and I only need to use him how many plays a game, right? I can take James Houston off the field, and I can bracket an offensive line with Smith, a former Pro Bowler, and Aiden Hutchinson on the other. You have options now. And what this says to me is the Lions say, you know what, we understand the value of a third-round pick. We understand the value of a fifth-round pick. That's where you find the Alex Anzalones, the guys that you fill in the spots around the superstars you end up with. But as valuable as those picks are to find the Alex Anzalones, these windows, like what the Lions have right now, they don't last forever. They don't last forever. Jared Goff is right now in the midst of one of the best five-game runs that any NFL quarterback has ever seen. Jared Goff right now is electric. He is almost perfect through the last five games. You don't get that very often. And so if you're getting that kind of play, if you're getting the kind of play you're getting out of Jahmyr Gibbs, if you're getting the kind of play you're getting out of this defense even without Hutch, and your weak spot is defensive end now, if you're getting that kind of production, your window's open. It will not stay open very long. Not with guys. Now, if you had a Patrick Mahomes instead of a Jared Goff, then maybe you could go, all right, our window's probably open 4, 5, 6 years, right? Probably 4, 5, 6 years the window's open. But Jared Goff ain't Patrick Mahomes. He's an old quarterback. The window is not long open for Jared Goff. So if that's the case, go all in now. Push it all to the middle of the table. Put the cards down and go win a damn Lombardi trophy. I love this for the Detroit Lions. I love this for a 7-1 football team that even without Aiden Hutchinson realizes we're on the cusp. We're the best team in the NFC. Are they the best team in the NFC right now? Damn sure are to me.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So if that window's open, and it cannot be open wider than it's open right now, all in, go get it. And to surrender thirds and fifths to make that happen and keep your first, about as good of a play as I can ask. This is masterful from the Detroit Lions. Let's take a break, come back, wrap up the show, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. Final segment of the show, final segment of the day. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. Robin the Great One Lonzo with you as we roll through an Election Tuesday edition of the show. I want to have this conversation, and I probably should have brought it up earlier in the show, but I'm curious about it. Curious. Scratch that. I'm not curious. I know exactly how the overwhelming majority of you are going to feel. Robert Griffin III. So, I'm intrigued.
He's also currently out of a job. I really like him, by the way.
I like RG3, too.
He's currently out of a job.
Yeah, he is. Which is dumb, by the way. Which is dumb.
Well, they had to make way for...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. 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 That's a different topic. Robert Griffin III says Baylor made half a billy after he won the Heisman Trophy and put Baylor football back on the map. Or at least that's how he makes it sound. Like, I put Baylor back on the map, which is fair. Which is fair. Some bad stuff happened at Baylor that kind of took them out of the collective eye of the college football landscape. And RG3 goes on. Max says, RG3 is bitter, dot, 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 as he should be. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, like, I found out last time I was home. I broadcasted for another large corporate entity a number of years ago, years and years ago. I went home for, when was I home? June, July, summertime. I was back home for a weekend. And as I was driving around, I was like, you know what? Let me listen in on one of my old stations. And I found out there is still an advertisement that I made for a business down there in Florida, probably a decade ago, ballpark, about a decade ago. Advertisement I did for a company down there, that's still running.
Are you better now?
As a broadcaster,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, then can you do a better commercial than what that was? Or was that so good that they're like, man,
oh, no, it was a good commercial.
Okay, all right.
It was a good commercial.
Because I've heard some production, it's like, that's going to be around forever because it's that good.
Yeah,
so.
It was pretty good. It was for a bar, and I nailed it. Still runs.
Congratulations.
Still runs. And I got to tell you, when Zoe and I, when anybody in this business does a commercial, voices a commercial for a business, we get paid for it. Because you are utilizing the brand that we have built to get people's attention to your product. The thought for me is you are still benefiting from what I did. Now, I accepted a contract to make that commercial. I'm guessing I probably got paid about $150 to make that commercial for you a decade ago. You've been running that commercial for 10 years. You've been benefiting from that commercial for 10 years now. While I agreed to a contract at the time for $150, would it be unfair of me to say, hey, guys, you've been using my voice for 10 years. You've been using my voice for $10 a year for a decade. Would I be entitled to say, I need more money from this? You should circle back around and pay me or not. Because that's kind of the situation RG3 finds himself in. There was no NIL. The only contract that was available to him at the time was a scholarship. The scholarship says, we provide you room and board in return for you coming here and being a great quarterback. And he did. Won a Heisman Trophy. Brought Baylor to heights they had not been in for forever. But then Baylor says, we made $500 million off the Heisman. That is not something that Baylor could do without Robert Griffin III, right? And he brought $500 million. They built $250 worth of on-campus stadium. They had never had that before. And he says Baylor connected it directly to the Heisman Trophy that he won. Do you dispute that the accuracy of his assessment?
I just find it hard to believe that the Heisman is that valuable to a school.
How's it not?
Because it's a popularity contest.
Doesn't matter. Still valuable.
I get how it would be somewhat valuable, but I don't know how it could be that valuable.
It is for a school like Baylor. Probably not to a Buckeye. Probably not to a Bulldog. Probably not to a Tiger. But it is to a school like a Baylor. Do you understand what would happen to Boise State if Ashton Jante wins the Heisman this year? That would be, despite the Statue of Liberty where they beat Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl, a bowl game result that was so shocking, we still remember it. Who won the Fiesta Bowl the year before that? Who won the Fiesta Bowl the year after that? Hell, who won the Fiesta Bowl last year? Right? You get my point? We still know Boise State. It's the biggest result ever. And I would be willing to venture that if we did a study and analysis of it, if Ashton Jante wins the Heisman Trophy this year, that would be more valuable to Boise State than the Fiesta Bowl win over Oklahoma a decade ago, or however long it was. I don't even remember. So I don't think RG3 is wrong in that Baylor football got put back on the map by RG3, right? And before anybody goes, oh, Rob's one player, it's a whole team, isn't it? Really? Really? How many of those same people say something totally different about how much of a winner Tim Tebow was and how Tim Tebow was Florida that year, right? Don't use the narrative only when it suits your argument. Robert Griffin III was the Baylor Bears, just like Tim Tebow was those Florida Gators. Those Gators were good. Those Gators had a hell of a lot of talent. But if they got a regular quarterback on that team, they ain't them Florida Gators. Tim Tebow made them Florida Gators. Robert Griffin III put Baylor football back on the map. I agree with him in that case. I am not a financial analyst, but he used Baylor's numbers there. Baylor said that they were worth $500 million more after he won the Heisman than they were before. So he's basically saying, yo, if this was the NIL era, and he's not wrong about this either, if this is the NIL era, out of eight. I'd have been set for life. And I think he would have. You think Baylor Bama fans wouldn't have come out of the damn woods to give RG3 mucho dinero to keep him there in Baylor? Yeah, of course they would. Of course they would. They're doing it right now. They're doing it right now. I promise you, if he wants it, Ashton Jeanty can be a very rich man by the end of this season. Right? Now, he said, and I gave him credit for this. We actually played the audio of this interview on the show a couple of months ago. Ashton Jeanty got asked, why didn't you transfer during this offseason? Why didn't you go to a big-time school? Why didn't you go to a Power 5 school that you could be in the playoffs for sure? And his response was, because I love Boise State. I love the opportunity they have presented me. I love the culture we've built here. I love the coaching staff. I love the school. I love the fans. I want to be here. I promise you the Boise State fans are going to figure out how in the hell to get that man $1 million in NIL money this offseason. They'll figure it out, right? Because Ashton Jeanty is getting Boise State the most publicity they've gotten since they beat Oklahoma.
Things change in business all the time, and this is a business. And I don't see this ending the way he thinks it'll end. I don't see him getting paid for that.
I don't either. For the record, I don't either. I just find the conversation interesting when you are able to, as Robert Griffin III says, Baylor
remember,
did not him.
I had joked that, you know, that Jim Tressel should get his job back because of the pants incident and all these little things that happened that got people fired or something like that. That's now acceptable because of NIL. He's not going to get his money.
Well, here's the difference. I get it. I agree. But also here's the difference. The difference is what Jim Tressel did. This is your department, Lonzo. What Jim Tressel did was very clearly against the rules at the time, right? And what did you say to me literally yesterday?
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't like the rules, go get the rules changed.
No,
until the rules are changed, you play by them, right?
Again, by the way, he got fired because he lied about something and because of the pants being traded for tattoos and all that kind of stuff. What I'm saying is a precedent could be set. If they pay him, then everyone needs to get paid.
Oh, dude, can you imagine what Reggie Bush's NIL would be worth?
Right,
right. Could you imagine? And every school's got that cat. And just do the list of greatest players to ever play for XYZ University and then think about what NIL value would have been for them, even adjusted for inflation from then to now.
For that reason alone, they're not going to pay him, because think of what they would have to do as far as tuition goes to raise tuition for everybody else to cover for the amount of money some schools would have to pay X players.
Oh, listen, I'm not saying RG3 is getting paid. Here is what is interesting to me. It is not whether RG3 is going to get paid. It is whether or not RG3 or someone like him will ever file a lawsuit and demand part of that money back. If they ever go in front of a judge and go, this school just openly said they made half a billy directly because of me, and I got nothing out of that deal but an education that was worth X thousand dollars. Am I not entitled to some of that? And catch the right judge on the right day at the right time with a good argument. And have that, because that would be enormous in college sports.
By the way, don't put breaking news on the screen saying that someone's not going to make a move.
That's breaking news, Jerry Jones, Cowboys are not selling at trade deadline.
Okay, how's that breaking news? That's just so dumb.
Breaking news, I'm going to eat lunch after this. Stop the show.
Eventually.
I need you all to know. I'm going to eat lunch right now.
All right. The first thing that's Xing is DJ Moore.
Okay. So DJ Moore is trending for two reasons right now. The first is that there's a video of Caleb Williams scrambling for his life, and DJ Moore, during a play when the ball is live, leaves the field. Everybody's like, yo, did DJ Moore just walk off the field while the ball was live? And the answer was yes. And everybody was dunking on DJ Moore. Except for what nobody paid attention to, because it is more important to immediately react than it is to gather information and then react to the facts. DJ Moore tweaked his hammy. He could not run anymore. Tweaked his hammy. He was busted up. He had to. The other option was stand there like a dummy on the field. So, yeah, you could be the old school guy. Grit it out. Go grit it out. Make a block. Grit it out. Nah, okay, whatever.
Rub some dirt on it, man. Come on.
I get it. The second reason that DJ Moore is trending today is because DJ Moore was doing an interview in Chi-Town, Illinois yesterday on, I believe, 96.7 The Game up there. And he got asked a very interesting question by the radio host. And the answer went this way. Now, considering DJ Moore used like 9 football cliches in a 10-second span right there, I want to pretend that this is DJ Moore just like, I don't want to do this interview. I'm banged up. I don't feel great. We just got our butts whooped. I don't want to be here, so I'm just going to give you the platitudes and get the hell over this interview and be done with it. Because that's happened. We've talked to players before who very clearly don't want to be here. But when the host says, has Matt Eberflus lost this team? And the answer, DJ Moore, a man that you spent a lot of capital to bring there, a first overall pick to bring there, says, I don't want to say no, but dot, dot, dot. It doesn't matter what else he says. The answer is now yes.
Yeah, but I think you and I both have done this. I think everyone's done this. Answer before you really listen to the question. And I think that's the case. I think he really didn't hear what the question was, or his brain didn't catch up with it before he had started talking, and then he moved on. That's what I think it is. I don't think he would have.
I will give him the benefit of the doubt for the sake of DJ Moore, because I like DJ Moore. I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is the optics of this are real bad for a coach that was already hot seated coming into this year. That's your biggest problem.
All right. The next thing that's exiting is Chase Young.
Chase Young is trending because the assumption is that the 2-7 New Orleans Saints, my 2-7 New Orleans Saints, after firing Dennis Allen yesterday, will be big trade line dealers. And honestly, I hope that they are. And Chase Young on a 1-year contract, when there are plenty of teams like the Eagles, like, well, up until earlier this morning, the Lions, et cetera, that need pass rushers, you could trade Chase Young and probably pick up a 4th-rounder or a 5th-rounder for him somewhere. The Saints have got to start shedding capital and picking up draft picks because they're going to have to be a very young team moving forward. Chase Young, one of the most likely targets to be moved today.
All right, last thing, short time to do it. The election. I don't know if you knew that there was one going on.
Ladies and gentlemen, make your voice heard. However you feel it should be, go vote. Go participate in the process. I will say this. Don't be that guy that goes, well, if you don't vote, you don't get the complaint. Yeah, you do. As Rush famously said, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. Neil Peart solo. Go vote. Or don't. It's your right. That's part of the beauty of America. Hey, assuming we're all capable of it, we'll see you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better. Have a lovely rest of your day. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.